I was doing real good and started to being up so many nights late, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and last night it was 3 before I got to sleep, and it's really made it hard on me. It's pulled me down in body. You get pulled down in body, it makes you get hoarse mighty easy when you start trying to preach. I don't know just what I'll say tonight. I'm never sure when I get up here just what I'm going to talk about. Sometimes the Lord might drop a thought in my mind. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to 2 Corinthians with me. In the 14th verse, it's the 12th chapter. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glory, and ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle. Though I be nothing, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundant I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, thank ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debate, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whispering, swelling, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present. The second time, in being absent, now write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you ward is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates, Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. I was reading a little over a chapter there. You know, here Paul is exhorting us that we should be perfect. The Lord is trying to lead the church into a state of perfection. For many years, God has sought to lead the church into a state of perfection. Not that we're already perfect, only in Him. But He has set in the body a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And I've said this to you before, and I want to say it again. The perfecting of the saints given by the ministry, it's not that the ministry can do anything as to your righteousness in God. Your righteousness in God is Christ. Nobody can add to that. Nobody can take away from it. But the perfection that Paul is speaking of and the perfection that God is speaking of through the fivefold ministry is the perfecting of your faith in the promises of Jesus Christ. Now, nobody can perfect me in holiness. Nobody can perfect me in the righteousness of God. For the Bible said that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified and hath sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. So nobody can add to that. Nobody can take away from it. I am not lacking in perfection. Neither are you lacking in perfection. So far as the foreknowledge of God or as the finished work of the Lord Jesus toward your salvation. But the thing that we are lacking in is perfection in the sense that our faith has not been perfected in the promises of God to the extent that we believe everything that the minister has told us, and that in believing that we produce this every day in our life by incorporating what God has said in His Word in our daily activities. If I believe something, then I will incorporate that in my life and it will become a part of me. Therefore, the ministry is called to preach the Word to you that they may tell you your shortcomings in Christ and then offer you the Word as means of remedy for it. And if they preach the Word to you, then if you believe the Word, then your faith will cause a manifestation of the deeds of holiness in your life, and thereby you are perfected through the fivefold ministry. So then Paul, exhorting the church, said, "We wish this even your perfection." I really wish this even your perfection. There are so many things that are in my heart. I have abundance of things that God has placed in my heart, and my desire toward you is greatly enlarged in that I would love to just take hours upon hours of exhortation and of expounding the Scripture and of telling you of the things that God has shared with me. But it's almost an impossibility for me to come behind the sacred desk in the manner by which people have to preach in the day that we're living and be able to express what God has placed in my heart to you. It's almost an impossibility. Rarely I am able to come here and the Spirit of God will move in such a way that I can bring forth the revelation of Jesus Christ. Other than that, the biggest thing that the ministry does is exhort, rebuke, reprove with all long-suffering, all doctrine, and all authority to try to bring you into a perfection of confidence in the Word of God that your life might show forth in holiness and manifest the fruits of the Spirit every day in your daily living. That's a wonderful calling to be a minister. That's a wonderful calling to be a saint of God. There is no calling greater in the earth than being a saint of God. I'd rather be a saint of God than be called to be the President of the United States. I'd rather have the calling of a saint of God than be the king of all the world. The highest and the greatest calling is to be a son of God. And there is the perfection that a son of God has to bring into his life. A lot of times we use the scripture like this. The Bible said, to as many as believe, to them gave he power. How many of you ever read that scripture? To as many as believe, to them gave he power. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe I've got any power in my life, Brother Pike. Or I don't believe that I can heal the sick. Or I don't believe that I can do this or do that. Or a lot of things that I see others do. I just don't feel like I can do it. But the Bible very definitely states that to as many as believe, to them gave he power. Said that ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Is that right? To as many as believe, God gave them power. I wonder how many believers I've got here tonight. Let me see your hand. All right, if that's true, then that means that God has given you power. How many believe that God's given you power? All right, then there's no question in this church as to whether there's power in this church or not. Is that right? Somebody say, I wonder if they got any power down there. There shouldn't be any question. If every one of you say that you've got power, there should not be any question as to whether there's power in this church or not. As a matter of fact, when you come to this church, you should be of the opinion that there's power in the church because you're there. Because you say that you've got power with God. Which, of course, is not out of harmony with the Scriptures. For to as many as believe, to them gave he power. And what was the power for? Gave them power to become the sons of God. Is that right? To as many as believe. A lot of people say, well, I'm already a son of God. But the Bible said, to as many as believe, to them gave he power to become. Is that right? You are preordained to come into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to as many as believe, to them God gave power to become. Now, if you deny the power, you can't become a son of God. If God has given you the power and you neglect it and fail to use it, you can't become a son of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm of the opinion if I got power, I'm already a son of God. If that is right, then Balaam was already a son of God. Is that right? Balaam had power to see visions, could open his eyes and see visions, fall into a trance with his eyes open and see visions. I'd say that was power, wouldn't you? But he wasn't a son of God. The Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. We are living in a day of grace when God has given forth a day of grace that your faith might register without works. That's right. It is a day of grace where God doesn't require one bit of work for you to feel the Spirit of God, or for you to come into the presence of the power of God, or for you to taste the power of God and the Word of God and the good things of God to come. Is that right? The Bible said if you've tasted the power of God and the things of the world to come, and then if you fall away, there is no more hope for you. Is that right? In the day that we're living in, it is an enlightening day. It is a day where God has allowed us to feel the power and the taste of the Lord and know that He's good and gracious. I say this so frequently from behind the sacred desk. There's men across the world that are working miracles, and those men are working miracles on the strength of the faith of the people. They themselves are not living right. They themselves are working gimmicks. They themselves are like Balaam that loved the wages of unrighteousness. A lot of people feel like that if a minister can work a miracle, or if a minister can do the supernatural and tell you your name, or if a minister can see visions like Balaam did, then that means he's full of the power of God, he's right with God, and he's on his way to heaven, and if anybody opposes him, they're in trouble with God. But that's not right. That's not right. There's ministers all over the world today, And there are great things going on. If it went on under the law with men like Balaam, how much more in the days of grace can men with Balaam attitudes operate in that God is not as strict in this hour as he was in that hour? Now then, God is strict in this hour, even more stricter than he was in that hour. But I mean in this hour of grace, God is making an allowance. And the strictness of God's work will not show forth until the day of grace is over. And then when God begins to gather the harvest in, everyone that has rejected God, everyone that has practiced something aside from the teachings of Christ, everyone that's climbed up another way and not went in by the Word, which is the door, then God will bind them hand and feet and cast them into the outer darkness. So then, that is why that we preach a perfection. There must be a perfecting in the church. We've got to have a perfecting. Not with gifts, not with visions. Paul said, I doubtless shall come to visions. I see visions all the time. God is giving me visions. I've got men and women here. Some of them see visions. Many times they come and tell me of a vision. A lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that you see visions like that. I know that I see the visions. I know that I see them. You say, well, you don't believe some of these other people see visions. I know that they see visions. A lot of people say, well, you mean to tell me when a person's asleep that that's a vision? Daniel said, I dreamed and the vision of my head troubled me. Is that right? Most of the visions that Daniel saw was dreams that he had as he laid upon his bed, but they were great and mighty visions from God. The reason for that, as I so often said, there's three minds working in the human body, and one is a satanic mind. One is a man's mind, and one is a God mind. Is that right? There's three kinds of dreams that come from those three kinds of minds. One the Bible calls is filthy dreamers. That's what comes from the mind of Satan. One the Bible said is dreams that come from the multitude of business. That's what comes from man's mind, having multitude of activities. And then there is another dream that comes from God, like Joseph had, that is called the vision from God. That's from the mind of Christ. So then I have people that see visions. I see visions. Paul said, I doubtless shall come to visions. He said, by night, a man stood before me by night, and the man pleaded, said, come over to Macedonia, we need your help. The Macedonian called. A lot of you have visions. Some of you don't understand it because you don't walk with God like you ought to. But the Bible said, in the latter times of the last days, your young men would see visions. Your young men would see visions. I've been sitting around and just be at my house. I wouldn't be asleep. I'd just be sitting there at the house and maybe just relaxing, meditating, talking to God. And like Balaam, all of a sudden, I begin to see a vision. Just fall into a trance and begin to see a vision and begin to see things happen. I remember so many things that I've related to you of the things that I've seen, of people's death, of incidents that occurred, of different things that happened, where the Lord showed it to me by vision or by trance or by revelation. To as many as believe, to them gave he power. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And the original rendering of the King James Version in the Greek is ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, then you got power. Is that right? How many of you agree that the Holy Ghost is power? How many of you agree that the Holy Ghost could tear this world into pieces if he wanted to? The Holy Ghost is power. We stand up and we say we've got the Holy Ghost. But you know what it is? We've got the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? A lot of us don't walk with God. What it is, we've got the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody would say, well, what is that? The Bible said the gift of God's eternal life. Is that right? You've got eternal life, but when it comes to the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. They'd pray and they'd fast. All of a sudden, the whole house would be shaken, and the Spirit of God would come down, and people would begin to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, And people begin to prophesy and speak in tongues, and everything would begin to happen because they were filled with the Spirit. I said this morning that the church is lacking. They're not filled with the Spirit. They've got the gift of the Spirit, but they're not filled with the Spirit. The Bible said that Jesus went into the wilderness, fasted 40 days, said he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he didn't go into the wilderness to fast. It wasn't his purpose to go there to fast. He went there to fight the devil. That's why he went there. God drove him into the wilderness to have a battle with the devil, and the battle that he had with the devil was to conquer his flesh. Is that right? A lot of people say, I'm having trouble out of my neighbor. You're not having any trouble out of your neighbor. You ever heard of a dead man having trouble out of his neighbor? The trouble you've got is with you, not your neighbor. All you've got to do is die to your own feeling. Your neighbor won't give you any trouble. So then Jesus went into the wilderness to fight the devil, to overcome his flesh, to conquer sinful flesh. And the devil came to him. A lot of people say, well, now Brother Pike, you don't expect me to believe that the Son of God was having trouble with his flesh. The Bible said that he was tempted in every way that I'm tempted. Are you listening? I said the Bible said that every temptation I go through with, he went through it too. Sure. The Bible said that when Satan came to him, he wanted him to eat. He offered him food. He was tempted by the appetite, tempted by the passions. He was tempted in every way, like unto humanity, but yet without sin. There's no record where he ever yielded to any temptation. Is that right? But to be your high priest and your redeemer, to be able to feel your infirmities, just to know how severe the penalty should be upon you for what you've done, then he felt your infirmities. He subjected himself to a human body and the feelings of the human body to where he could determine just exactly how much perseverance that you had put forth in resisting a certain temptation, that when he judged you in the day of judgment or in the day of your trial, that he'd know just exactly how far you'd gone and just how much lethargy that you had placed in there in being negligent toward trying to overcome. You can't fool Christ. The Lord cannot be fooled. He knows exactly your infirmities. He knows just exactly how much effort you put forth. He knows just how much you're trying to resist the spirit of foolishness that came to your mind. How much effort you used to try to resist lust. How much effort you used in trying to resist the gossip and the thoughts and the evil and the covetousness that come to your mind concerning the things of the world. Jesus knows just exactly how much perseverance it takes and how much you put forth. Is that right? He was tempted every way like we are. But the Bible said he was driven up of the Spirit. He went into the wilderness, and there he was tempted 40 days by the devil. He was not going in there to fast. He went in there to fight the devil. But the Bible said in those days he did eat nothing. That is, when the battle became so severe and he saw he was going to have the strength of God. A lot of people say, well, he didn't have to have the strength of God. He was Jesus. But the Bible said, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Is that right? He suffered and learned obedience just like you and I. And the Bible said, because he offered up prayer with strong crying, he was heard of God. He offered up prayer to God with weeping and strong crying. And because he wept before God, the Bible said, then he was heard of the Spirit. So then he was our example. He was our tutor. He was filled with the Spirit. In those days he did eat nothing as he wrestled with the devil, as he fought. One day after conquering the flesh, Satan had no more hold on him. I want to tell you something, that if you ever conquer the flesh, the devil can never again bother you. You become the master of Satan the day that you conquer your outer man. Paul said, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Is that right?
And he said, abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the spirit. That is, if the outer man wars against the inner man, then leave off the outer man. If you have to fast, leave him off. Kill him out. He's warring against the inner man. Abstain from fleshly desire, fleshly lust, fleshly concern that warreth against the inner spirit that's on the inside of you, that's constantly warring. And lean not to your own understanding of the human senses, Paul said, but to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why do this? Because he said, we wish this even your perfection, the perfecting of the saints. We wish for you to come into the perfect place with God. That is, you have power to do it. The Bible said, to as many as believe, to them gave he power. You've got the power to become the sons of God. You've got the power to travail in prayer. You've got the power to travail in fasting. You've got the power to resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. You've got the power to overcome the carnal mind and spend some time in studying. You've got the power to stand upright and tell the world you love Christ and be an overcomer. You've got the power to do it. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Bible said when he came out of the wilderness, I want you to notice this. When he came out of the wilderness, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, the Bible said when he returned in the power of the Spirit. Is that right? Whenever he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now you say, Brother Pike, what's so fascinating about that? Here's what's fascinating to me about it. The Bible said, giving the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, that we might understand them, lest we let them slip. It said that when he returned in the power of the Spirit. Somebody would say, I know that. I know that's what the Bible said. But if you ever considered the fact that if he returned in the power of the Spirit, that means that he could have had the Spirit and still not been in the power of the Spirit. How do you understand what I'm saying? That means that Jesus could have had the Spirit and still not have been in the power of the Spirit. That's where the trouble with the church is. Somebody said, well, I know I've got the Spirit. I don't doubt but what you have. But my brother, because you got the Spirit, that doesn't mean that you're in the power of the Spirit. Just because you got the Holy Ghost, that doesn't mean that you're in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why I believe that God, let the King James rendering be, that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now then, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe that the Holy Ghost is power? I do believe that the Holy Ghost is power. I believe that he is the power of God. And I believe that if we are filled with the Spirit, that we can have the power of God. But let me tell you something. There is a difference in the definition of the Spirit of God and the power of God in the Bible. There is a difference in it. What is the difference? The difference is that I can have the Spirit, in my heart, in my inner man, and still not be in the power of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Now, this is why that God has ordained that people fast and that people pray. I don't have to do anything to get the Spirit. Somebody said, I sought after God a long time before I ever got the Spirit. I don't believe that. Jesus said, you've not sought me, I sought you. You never went looking for God. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, I went looking for God. You never went looking for God. When God found me, I was working on a job. I was doubling up at night. I was trying to do extra work to where I could feed my belly and build myself a home and have a little spot of ground and have security. But one day, God came looking for me. I didn't go looking for God. God came looking for me. So then one day he knocked on my heart's door. And Jesus wanted to know if anybody was home. Amen. Hallelujah. He came looking for me. And when he came looking for me, I was struck down by the power of God. I was like Paul on the way to Damascus. How many of you think Paul was looking for God? Paul wasn't looking for God. Paul was overconfident in his own ability in the teaching to the Pharisees and all these kind of things. He wasn't looking for God. Paul was going over there to put those Christians in prison and to kill those Christians. That's what he was going over there for. But about that time, the Bible said there was an angel of God that appeared in heaven, or rather Christ Jesus himself as the angel of the Lord. And he appeared and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" See, he wasn't looking for God. And old Paul got afraid, and Paul said, "What do you want?" He said, "Paul," he said, "you go over to the street called Straight and get straight." Hallelujah. He said, "You go straighten your crooked ways out, Paul." Hallelujah. He said, "I want you to go over there and get straightened out." And said, "I got a fellow by the name of Ananias. He's good at straightening out the crooked. You go over there and see him." Even the brother himself was afraid of Paul. How many of you know that? He'd heard about the trouble Paul caused, and he thought Paul was pulling some kind of cunning trick, and he was afraid himself. Paul wasn't in the power of the Spirit. Paul didn't know nothing about the power of the Spirit. But I'll tell you what, when God got a hold of him, it wasn't long after that he got in the power of the Spirit. And I'll tell you tonight, you might not be in the power of the Spirit, but I'll tell you what, you can get in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. This church can get in the power of the Spirit. Amen. If we want to move in God and come together in a unit, like I said this morning, somebody would say, "How do I do that?" Because God is the Spirit of holiness. And the more I get into holiness, the more I'm filled with the Spirit. And the more I'm filled with the Spirit, the more opportunity I have to get in the power of the Spirit. Now, the Bible said Jesus went into the wilderness and he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, you don't find him doing any miracles until he went down the River Jordan, do you? A lot of people want to jump the gun on everything. They say, "God called me to preach." "Have you ever been baptized in Jesus' name?" "Nah, someday I'll get around to it, I guess. But right now, I ain't got time for them things. I got to go cast out devils, and I got to go heal the people." Say, "Well, don't you think you ought to sit down and learn a little something about the Bible?" "Nah, the Bible said, I don't have no need of nobody teaching me. The Holy Ghost teach me." So off they go. Off they go. And the Bible said, "They that abhor the Lord shall fall in the ditch, and the whore is the ditch." And it isn't long before they're in that old whorish mind, the deep ditch, the whorish mind, leaning to their own understanding, got them a little gimmick going, and God's rejected them, and they're religious, and got a bunch of proselytes following them. Is that right? Hallelujah. So then, Jesus took time to go into the Spirit, into the wilderness. I made the statement the other day, and I want to recall it back to your memory. A lot of people say, "Well, I don't have time to learn, Brother Pike." But if God had time to take Moses and keep him 40 years out in the wilderness, and 40 years down there in the land of Egypt, if he had time to do all of that before he ever put him in the ministry, then he's got time to let you sit down for a little while and learn where you're going. Is that right? A lot of people would say to me, they say, "But Brother Pike, this is the end time and time is short." I want to say this again. Don't you know that 40 years ago, God knew the time was running out? If he knew the time was short, don't you think he started somebody 40 years ago getting them ready for this hour? God didn't run up here at the last minute and say, "We better go up here and try to do something." God didn't run up the last minute and say, and get all nervous and shaking and say, "The devil's about to take everything over. You better go recruit a half a dozen recruits and ship them all." God knew this hour was coming. God's had soldiers all the time in training. Hallelujah. And he ain't going to run out and get a bunch of recruits. What God's going to do is call those men he had in preparation. And that hour came on. Brother Paul had been in preparation. God had had him in preparation. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel, knew the law, blameless, touching the law, had a great reputation among people. That God knew if he called Paul, that he'd be a great person. Same way with Moses. Had Moses down there learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. Had him prepared for that certain hour when the thing was to come to pass. Old brother Joseph had Joseph growing up back there. Had him down to prison. Knew that the famine was coming and had him all prepared for the hour. Hallelujah. God ain't doing nothing on a shoestring. Hallelujah. He knows what He's doing. A lot of times God might pick up some recruits, and He might say to some recruit, go over there and work with Brother Lyman for a while. Brother Hollis for a while. Get with some of these boys that know the trail. Stay with them. Learn something and work with them. But I want you to know that God got everything in hand. Everything's fine. Hallelujah. The Lord said to Jesus, get out there in the wilderness. There's going to be a fight. Going to be a battle. Get out there. And the Bible said the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness. And Jesus prayed. And Jesus fasted. And Jesus cried. And Jesus rung the prayer bells of heaven. And history says that it looked like that He wrestled with a beast. That the place was wallowed out where He was. Day and night with the beast. 40 days a night. Wallowing and praying and crying. I don't believe He got out there, you know, and He prayed 15 minutes. He laid down and went to sleep, you know, and He woke up the next morning and yawning. Prayed 15 more minutes and went down the creek and played around the creek all day long, you know, and come back and prayed 15 more minutes. I don't believe He did that. The Bible said Jesus would go out and Jesus would continue in prayer all night long. All night long He would pray. Calling on the Spirit of God, praying. Always praying, calling on the Spirit of God. Jesus continually. And when He rise up, can you imagine somebody, the Bible said travail endureth but for a night and joy cometh in the morning. Can you imagine if tonight, if you got away somewhere and prayed all night long, tomorrow you got up and prayed all day long, and the next night you got there and you prayed all night long, and the next day you got up and you prayed all day long, and you're so weary you couldn't hardly hold your eyes open. And then when you got up and began to walk, you'd feel like a living dynamo everywhere you went. Hallelujah. You'd walk into a service and you wouldn't have to jack everybody up. Amen. All you'd do is just open your mouth and say, hallelujah. And the Spirit of God began to move. And something began to take place. David said, my cup runs over. Hallelujah. You pray, God will do something for you. And the Bible said Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Ooh, I'll tell you what, I can feel the Holy Ghost right now. I can just see Jesus as He come out of the wilderness and walked out among those people. It wasn't the same Jesus that went into the wilderness as far as the power of the Spirit was concerned. Here it came out of the wilderness. And I can just picture Him in my mind. Maybe Peter, James, John, whoever it was had been with Him before then, I don't know. But whoever it was, whoever had known about Him before then, they might have been looking for Him. I don't think He really got down to business with His disciples till He come out of there anyway, as far as making His choice. But the thing is, when He walked out, people, when they got near Him, I just got a feeling that everywhere that Jesus walked, there was something about Him. I imagine when He walked by, somebody turned around, you know, like that. They had a feeling when He went by, there's something different about Him. Just walking by, just minding His own business. He'd just be walking by, and I imagine somebody be like this, you know, looking at Him. I read a little article one time, and in this article it said a great leader, a great king, a great ruler had desired to see Jesus, had heard about Him. Oh, a peasant now, a common man, Jesus, a nobody as far as the world was concerned, but this great king had desired to see Him. And said one day he went for a stroll through the garden. And all of a sudden, as he started to make the turn, said, there he stood face to face with Jesus, the Son of God. The Galilean, standing there, looking Him right in the eye. I read what he said about Him. He said He was magnificent. Said, I never seen a man like Him in my life. Said He stood the way He stood, the way He carried Himself, the way He spoke. Said, you could tell. He said you could tell that He was a king. You could tell He was a great prince. The way He spoke, the power, the authority, the sureness, the understanding that He presented. He said there was never nothing like Him. Said he'd never seen nothing like Him in his life. Jesus. He returned in the power of the Spirit to as many as believe, to them gave He power. To as many as believe, to them gave He power to become the sons of the living God. You've got power to become the Son of God. You can be the Son of God, but you've got to use the power. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said that Stephen was a man that was a great man of faith and power. Is that right? Read it in the scriptures. These boys going about preaching, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. The Bible said he was a man of faith and power. What is the difference? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the man is preaching, even yourself. What's the difference? I got the Holy Ghost like you got the Holy Ghost. I know that. Then some of us would say, well, if you got the Holy Ghost and I got the Holy Ghost, and God's no respect to person, ain't I just the same as you are? Just the same. No difference. But the Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. Said he deals unto every man the measure of the Spirit. He giveth the Spirit by measure to every man. You can have all of it you want. All the measure you want, you can have it. Somebody said, I'm afraid. He didn't ordain me to be Paul the Apostle. He never called me to be Brother Branham. He never called me to be Elijah. My brother, he's got a greater calling in your life. He called you to be the sons of God. To as many as believed, gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to as many as believed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Said to as many as believed on his name. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Is that right? To as many as believed, to them that gave he power. If you receive the Holy Ghost, then power shall come upon you. Jesus being led up of the Spirit. Jesus already had the Spirit. Jesus went into the wilderness, and I want you to see this. He never had just a little bit of the Spirit. He never had just two measures of the Spirit. But God gave him the Spirit without measure. But he didn't do any miracles, did he? I said he had the Spirit without measure, but he didn't do any miracles. How much less will the church do miracles today, or how much less will the church heal the body of Christ today, and them having only a measure of the Spirit, when the Bible said God gave not the Spirit by measure of the Son, but he gave himself entirely to the body of Jesus Christ. What is the difference? My brother, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. That's the difference. You don't take a few minutes to discuss it? He returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, what was that? He didn't do any miracles. He never worked any miracles. But all of a sudden, here comes that Jesus again. Here he comes out. When he comes out, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Somebody said, well, I fasted 10 days. I fasted 70 days. That wasn't what he did. Fasting 70 days, that's not going to make you return the power of the Spirit. God didn't want to feed Elijah's belly. He wanted to give him some strength. What he did, he went into the wilderness. And the journey was so long, he just couldn't get back to any food anymore. That's what it was. God had to bake him another cake. But God don't have to give a dozen cakes. One cake's good enough. Elijah, you got one cake. That's enough strength to take care of you. You ain't supposed to feed the belly anyway. One cake of God's worth 50 of yours. So then he went into the wilderness. He come back. He didn't go to fast. Like Jesus, the Bible said in those days he did eat nothing. When Moses went up on the mountain, Moses didn't go up there to fast. Moses went and got in the presence of God. And while he was up there in the presence of the Holy Spirit, he didn't eat. He was too busy thinking about the things of God. He come down and found Aaron, him had broke the law, went back up there 40 more days and never did eat or drink for 40 days up there. Somebody said, I went on a fast. You ever went 40 days without water? If you think God just meant for you to go on a fast, why don't you try 80 days without water? I said, why don't you try doing without water for about 80 days and see if God puts you on a fast? A lot of fasting is will worship. When like Israel said, wherefore we fasted, say they, and you don't take no knowledge. Because he said, this is not the fast I've chosen. I want you to do what I tell you to do. That's the fast I've chosen. Are you listening? Jesus went into the wilderness. And in those days he did eat nothing. 40 days and 40 nights he never ate anything. He was wrestling with the flesh. He was fighting with the devil. He was overcoming his sensations, his feelings, his human desires. In those days he did eat nothing. And then he returned in the power of the Spirit. He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Now let's just get a look at the power. The Bible said here he's in the throng with the multitudes, people coming from everywhere. Everywhere there's people pressing in on him. Jesus said, who was it that touched me? A little woman with an issue of blood. According to the laws of Moses, she should have been stoned to death. She didn't even have no business around him. There, the people could have stoned her to death, but she took a chance with a life. And she pressed into the multitude, and she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, then I know that I'll be healed. And she pushed in, got right over there where the hem of the garment was and touched it. And about the time she touched it, she felt the power of the Spirit. You say, what was the power of the Spirit? Jesus said, somebody touch me. Hallelujah. I'm sure that Peter, James, and John said, what's the matter with him? You know, they thought he was beside himself a time or two anyway. And the Bible said they went out there, they thought he'd done gone crazy a time or two according to the Bible. And he said, you done got beside yourself. Like Paul, you done got beside yourself. I imagine Peter and James and John probably said it's done got to be too much for him. Everybody around here touching him, he's talking about somebody touching him. It done got to be too much for him. He probably done gone crazy. They really thought that about him according to the Bible. They said, why, Lord, said people touching you everywhere. Jesus, just he didn't pay any attention to him. He just kept looking. He said, somebody touch me. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. That little woman, she probably didn't say nothing the first time. But when Peter and him said, there's people touching you all around, and Jesus said, no, somebody touch me, she knew that he knew. And she come trembling up there and fell down at his feet. And she said, Lord, it was me. Hallelujah. Lord, how did you know? He said, power went out of my body. You follow me? Virtue went out of my body. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in it, think on this. Store up virtue. You might have water in the battery, but that's not enough. You got to get the fire. You got to get the juice. You got to get a charge on the battery. Is that right? Put the water in, but that won't do it. You got to have a charge. You got to get some electricity to it. Now, I might have the Spirit, the water of life, on the inside of me. I might have every little place filled up. You know, some people run dry and blow up. You ever seen people do that? I said they run out of water and they blow up. Splatter on everybody. But anyway, you might be filled with the Spirit. But all of a sudden, you talk to God, and from the innermost being, there will come out water, rivers of living water. And all of a sudden you pray, and you'll feel something begin to come out into your outer man. Now listen, have the Spirit, but you begin to submit the outer man. You begin to kill the outer man. You begin to make the outer man think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, want to be like Jesus. Add virtue, add godliness, add patience, add brotherly love. All of these things Jesus said. And then he said, you become a tree bearing fruit. You're not barren anymore. Is that right? You're not barren. In other words, you start putting the virtue into the body. Putting the virtue. For 40 days and nights, Jesus wrestled. After a while, he got a hold to that body. Paul said, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. Here he got the body under subjection, and all of a sudden he got full of the Holy Ghost. He got full of the power which is the virtue of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. He said, I perceive that virtue went out of my spirit. I wonder what he said, wasn't it? Somebody tell me what he said. Out of my body, he said. Somebody said, the flesh ain't got nothing to do with it, Brother Pye. Why, you can wear blue jeans and pedal pushes and chop off your hair and do it any way you want to. But Jesus said, virtue went out of my body. A virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. Somebody said, well, I don't see where virtue's got nothing to do with it. Well, if virtue ain't got nothing to do with it, why did he pick a virgin for the birth of the Son of God? If virtue don't have nothing to do with it, why did he pick a virgin for the Son of God? I say sin went as far as Calvary. And the devil roared as far as Calvary. He acted up as far as Calvary. But when he got to the virgin and he saw the Son of God, he lost his strength, didn't he? He couldn't howl anymore. All right, how many of you listen at me tonight? Just a few more minutes now. Virtue. If virtue don't have anything to do with it, then why is it? Why is it now, if virtue don't have anything to do with it, why was it that God chose the virgin for to bring forth his son? There is one reason. There was no other thing that could bring forth a son of God in a human body except virtue. You're not listening to me. I can tell because you're not getting a connection. I know you're paying attention to me. But virtue, if my heart is the wound of God to bring forth a son, what kind of heart have I got to have? I got to have a virgin heart. I got to have a heart full of virtue. Somebody say, what are you talking about? Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Somebody said, well, I ain't interested in Christ being formed within me. I want power to open the blind eyes. What it is, you are a novice that's hoping somebody will praise you and give you a pocketbook full of money and a nice Cadillac to drive, and you don't know where you're going. You're just as blind as the bats that fly around at night. That's right. But God wants virtue. And when the heart gets to be a virgin heart, the Son of God is formed within it. And then when the Son of God's formed in it, all kinds of miracles take place. Blind eyes are open. Deaf ears are unstopped. All kinds of things begin to take place because you're in the image of the Son of God. In my body, Paul said, there dwelleth no good thing. Is that right? But he said, I'm going to turn it into virtue. I'm going to kill it out. I'm going to transform it. I'm going to change it into the image of Christ. He said, be holy in body and in spirit. I want to be holy in spirit. I am holy in spirit because the Holy Spirit's in me. But I want to be holy in body. I want to walk holy, talk holy, be holy. In the millennium, everything will be holiness unto the Lord. I want to be virtuous. I want to be holy. Jesus was holy. His power wasn't in fasting. Somebody said, atomic power with God, fasting and prayer. Some kind of power because it blowed some of them up. Puffed them way up. Amen. The same man that wrote Atomic Power with God was up here having an argument, I believe it was, with my brother Grady back here not too long ago, talking about women's call to preach. You can see how much atomic power he had. I'm not critical. Talking about God killed Brother Branham because I was the same man that published Atomic Power talking about God killed Brother Branham because he got too hard on the ladies. Atomic Power with God. Let me tell you something. You think because Jesus fasted 40 days that he went around healing people? Do you really believe that? What about Brother Terrell fasted 70 days and Brother Delmer, I think, fasted about 70 days? And some of the others that fasted 50 and 60 and 40 and 30, why ain't they doing what Jesus did? Somebody said, well, I saw them do it. Well, I never seen them do it. I've been in Brother Terrell's meeting. I've been in Brother Baldwin's meeting. I was in Brother Branham's meeting. I was in Brother Allen's meeting. I was in Brother Robert's meeting. I never seen any of them do it. Never seen Brother Branham do it. That's right. I saw Brother Branham with a gift where he told people things. But I was in many of his meetings, and very few times there was ever a miracle that I would say saw take place in any of his meetings. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying about it. It's not atomic power with God just because you're going to fast. It's adding virtue and holiness and godliness and coming into the perfect image of the Son of God. Did you know that I heard that even Brother William Branham, as great as he was, I understood he made the statement that one of his weaknesses was foolishness. Cracking jokes. What would God do if a man really laid down his life and come into the power of the Spirit or come into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, you couldn't do that. The Bible said we're ordained to the full measure of the full stature of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Returning in the power of the Spirit. Returning in the power of the Spirit. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you talk like you didn't agree with Brother Branham. I did agree with Brother Branham. I believe he was a prophet. I didn't agree with some of the things he'd done. I didn't agree with him going to the movies and telling somebody else that they could go to the movies, that they ought to go see that picture about the Ten Commandments. I didn't agree with that. A number of things I didn't agree with. I believe that we ought to come into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference what kind of gift we got. I say again, Balaam could do those things. Balaam did the same thing Brother Branham did. That's not it. Like Brother Harry told me the other day, he said he saw a man on television. Said the man stood there and said the people with deaf ears said according to what he's seen with his own eyes. He said there wasn't even a case that come up but wasn't healed. And said the man turned right around to him, dressed like Jezebel's, mini skirts, pants, and everything else. Said, well, that don't make no difference the way you dress. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If that man is right, and if it don't make any difference how you dress before God when the Bible said dress is becometh holiness, if it don't make any difference, then I'm a liar and I'm a false prophet and that man is a prophet of God and you need to get out of here and never come back anymore. One of us is wrong. That's why I said this morning it'd be gathered up by miracles. When the three unclean spirits went out of the mouth of the dragon and the false prophet, when these things went out over there and went out through the land together, all of them together, to the battle of Armageddon, the Bible said three unclean spirits. It didn't say three clean spirits. It said three unclean spirits. And said there was like frogs. You know what frogs is? Scientists say that frogs is the lowest level of life there is. In other words, God said, I made the devil, that's the lowest form of life ever created. Is that right? Went out from them. And the Bible said they went throughout the world. Somebody said, deceiving the people. Went throughout the world. The Bible said they went all throughout the world. Gathering the people together. That is, the people listen at them. They listen at them in Atlanta, Georgia. They listen at them over yonder in Oklahoma. They listen at them in California, in Germany, all through the world. These spirits. Who was the spirits in? They had to be in somebody. Are you listening? I said the spirits was in somebody. Who were they in? They were in ministers. Somebody said, where do you get that? Because the Bible said the ministers of Satan transform themselves. Paul said by the renewing of their mind and minister light. That is the word of light. Just like Satan quoted to Jesus. Transformed himself into an angel of light and appeared as the word to Jesus and quoted the word. Isn't that right? Said they went forth working miracles. Miracles. Said and by the means of miracles, these miracles. That they deceive the whole world. Somebody said, bless God, they can't deceive me. I'm watching. I'll know whether it's real or not. Are you listening? Somebody said, I don't know. The Bible said it'd be so close to deceive the very elect if it was possible. Said that by the means of these miracles, they deceive mankind. By the means of these miracles that they were. Those spirits. Somebody said, you mean some old dirty hippie? No, some glamour boy.
Are you listening? I'm going to say something. You might crucify me when I say it. But I'm talking about the kind of fellows that said, don't put no change in. It makes me nervous. That's the kind I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind that said all on the hand and all on the head and all on the feet and blood crosses and everything else. That's the kind I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind like out in Oklahoma where you can put on a pair of shorts and jump hurdles and go swimming and dance and frolic and do everything else with the movie stars. That's the kind I'm talking about. By the means of miracles, they deceive the hearts of the simple. What's the matter with them? Somebody said, well, they're preaching just like you are. No, they ain't, because I'm preaching being baptized in Jesus' name. They're not preaching that. I'm preaching in His name. Somebody said, well, bless God, the Bible said you can't work a miracle in my name and lightly speak evil of me. I know that. I know that. Somebody said, well, I know that man worked a miracle in His name. How do you know it? Well, I heard him call the name Jesus. That don't mean nothing. The Bible said they'll come in my name. But when He said work a miracle in my name, He meant that when a man come as a son of God, as bone of his bone, carrying the name Jesus, believing in the name Jesus, living the name Jesus, teaching the name Jesus, said when that man worked a miracle, he couldn't speak evil of him. But you can come Trinity preaching anything you want to and holler Jesus' name. That's right. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it like that. Well, you need to believe it some other way. Somebody said, but how are you going to substantiate that with the Bible, Brother Pye? Because He said in that day, they said, I've cast out miracles in the name of the Father and the Son. Somebody help me here. That wasn't what they said at all. It said in that day, they said, Lord, we've cast out devils in Your name. Is that right? So that means somebody's got the wrong interpretation, don't it? Somebody misunderstood. Now, so then that is going to be just exactly what I tell you. But we can return in the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit, not false spirits, not unclean spirits working miracles, but in the power of the Spirit of God. We can work it in the power of the Spirit of God. Somebody said, well, I thought I had this thing figured out, but the Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. Isn't that right? Like Brother Branham said one time, when you got it figured out, just rack it up and say, I'm wrong. He said, because you are. Somebody said, but I've been studying and learning all of my life. Time to quit learning. Keep on studying, but study and let the Lord reveal it to you. It's a revelation. You can't learn it. Study to show yourself approved, not study to learn. Study to show yourself approved, and then God will reveal it to you. That's the way God does it. All right. Now, let me say just a few more words here concerning the power of the Spirit, and we're going to close. Now, He returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, listen real close, folks. What was the power of that Spirit? I say again, it was the virtue that come out of Jesus' body. That's what the power of the Spirit is. On the inside, there's the Holy Ghost. He's power. Over here, there's a sick body. And that sick body needs the power in the Spirit. But it can't get to him. Are you listening? Let me show you something. Say that Brother Lyman had the Spirit of God. And I believe he does. Maybe he's got the Spirit of God. And he stands up here. And a sick person needs healing because they got cancer. So Brother Lyman is going to heal the person, but he can't do it. So he stands there and he prays, but nothing don't happen. Somebody said, well, I don't understand. The Bible said the signs shall follow them that believe, and here he is, he's got the Spirit. Are you listening? So then here he is, he's trying to heal the person, but he can't heal him. Why can't he heal him? There's one reason. There is a middle wall, a partition, which is his own human personality that has to be broke down. That middle wall of partition stands between that person that's trying to be healed and the Spirit of God in Lyman, in the temple here, that would heal the person. If the Bible said if anybody looked toward the temple that Solomon built, they'd be healed. If they looked toward Lyman, he's the temple of God, they'd be healed. Isn't that right? But it has to be done according to God's word. Lyman has first got to go break down the middle wall of partition. Somebody said, there you go, 30 days of fasting. That won't break it down. I've seen people go 30 days of fasting and get them a woman on the side quick as they get out of it. That don't mean nothing. People go on 40 days fasting, come back and tell you, you better pack up your suitcase, get you a bunch of bananas because it's going to be a famine. Why, you can say anything, learn anything. That don't mean nothing. But what I'm trying to tell you, if you really start living a holy life, fasting and praying and seeking God and adding virtue and godliness and patience and long-suffering and meekness and brotherly kindness and all of these things, after a while, the middle wall of partition is gone. It's not you that's living, it's Christ. That body is filled from that inner man. That inner man has let his will run over, and the outer man is filled with the virtues of God. Then when somebody comes up and somebody says, I'm sick, and Lyman just turns his head up to heaven, he don't have to do nothing. The Bible said Jesus, he just looked up to heaven and he was so filled with the Spirit of God, so submissive, that he began to sob. He began to sigh. He was so broken, he didn't have to do nothing. He just looked up and God just overshadowed him. He just filled the Spirit of God, just billowed out of him like that. And he didn't never say a word other than he just, Father, said, I thank thee, Father, thou hearest me. I know you hear me always. He said, Lazarus, come out of the grave, and out of the grave he come. That's the way he did it. Somebody said, well, what would Brother Lyman have to do? Wouldn't he have to get out there and say, Jesus, Jesus, come and heal this man? No. The Bible said, Brother Lyman, you go heal the sick. Wasn't that what he told him? He didn't tell him to bring Jesus to heal the sick. Jesus said, I give unto you. Now listen, he returned in the power of the Spirit to as many as believe, to them gave he power. He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And he said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, including death. Are you listening? I give unto you power, Peter, to go tell Dorcas to get up. Though she's dead, tell her to get up. I give unto you power, Elijah. Go tell the dead person to get up. Somebody said, well, he didn't tell us to do that. Jesus said, when you go into a city, he said, heal the sick. Come on now, listen. Is that what he said? He said, heal the sick. What else did he say? He said, raise the dead. If them folks has got any dead loved ones, get them up, he said. If you go there and receive you, said, heal the sick and raise the dead. That's what he told us. Is that right? Somebody said, but he was talking to them. He said, what I say to one, I say to all. Is that right? To the sons of God, to them gave he power. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Somebody said, well, I believe that the world's waiting for the sons of God. I didn't say the world was waiting for the sons of God. But somebody said, but Brother Pike, you just got through said the word, saying that the world was waiting for the sons of God. I didn't say the world was waiting for the sons of God. I said the world was waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. John said, beloved, and you're already the sons of God. We've always been the sons of God before the world ever was. When he said, Job, where was you when the sons of God leaped for joy? But he's waiting for the manifestation of them. He's waiting for them to return in the power of the Spirit. Jesus was the Son of God. But the Bible said that the Spirit, God, was manifested in the flesh. So then, if there's a manifestation of the sons, it's God in you, the Son, manifested in your flesh. The power of the Spirit. The woman felt virtue. A lot of you know that you don't have much virtue. Now listen at me. You know that you got the Holy Ghost, but I see you standing right around here when I can feel the virtue of God running up and down my spine, and some of you look like you're just dying to get a little sip. Is that right? You know what it is? It's your faith. You're not living an overcoming life. You've got your mind half in the world like Balaam and half on something else. That's the condition that you're in. and you're not living an overcoming life. But if you lived an overcoming life, the condemnation would move, and faith would come up, and virtue would come down, and the person would be healed. That's the difference. That's the difference. I felt virtue go out of my body. I felt virtue go out of my body. I can tell when a person starts believing. Now, you've got to have somebody on the other end. The Bible said Paul perceived that they had faith to be healed, even if you got the virtue. I'm not doing away with that. Many things Jesus couldn't do because that they unbelief. But I'm talking about when they got faith to be healed, and they're waiting for somebody to give them something. The man looked on Peter expecting to receive some silver or gold, expecting something. And Peter said, I don't have that, but I got some virtue. He said, you can have that. He got it and was healed. You say, how do you know he gave him virtue? Because Jesus said, virtue went out of my body. Well, what did the little woman receive? She received virtue. And what was the virtue? It was the power of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? It's the power of the Spirit. If we had more time tonight, I'd bring out a lot of things tonight on virtue. I sought to do that one night, bring out a lot of places in the Scriptures and different things on virtue to show you that this is true. But I'm going to stop right here. Returned in the power of the Spirit to as many as believe, to them gave he power. You got the power to become a manifested son of God if you're willing to conform to holiness. Let the old man die. Stand with me, will you? How many of you want Jesus to use you? How many of you are willing to let the outer man perish so Jesus will use you? Are you willing? It's a death route. It's a cross. Every man take up a cross and lay the old outer man on the cross. It's a cross. Self-denial, swear to your own hurt. Change not. Are you listening to me? Talk about Jesus. Sing about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Pray without ceasing. Meditate in His laws day and night. Jesus in the morning. Jesus at the noontime. Jesus when the sun goes down. Is that all right? We sing that song, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Sing it again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing. You know, I love good food, don't you? Solomon said the best thing you could do is eat and drink. Isn't that right? He said the best thing he ever found to do under the sun was just sit down and have a good meal. Isn't that right? But you know, I done come to a place in God, and I'm telling you the truth. I don't lie. My conscience bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I tell you the truth. That I'd rather fellowship Jesus and think about Jesus and love Jesus and meditate in Jesus. I'd rather do that than eat steak. I'm telling you the truth from the bottom of my heart. I had it's sweeter to me to think about Jesus. Something about Jesus is sweet to me. It's sweet. I've come to a place in the Lord to where He's sweet to me. I think about Him and He just satisfies me. He satisfies me. Samson found a woman among the Philistines. Samson said, she pleaseth me well. He really liked that woman. You know, Jesus pleases me well. I like Him. Hallelujah, I like Him. Taste and see if He's good. He's better than steak. Better than steak ain't near as high price. Amen. Common folks can eat this kind of bread of life. He said, taste of my flesh. It's good flesh. eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. No charge on it. Let whosoever will come. Take of the waters of life freely. Let him without money come. Is that right? Let's sing it again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. Keep me singing as I go. Deep within my heart, a melody. Jesus whispers soft, low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. Fills my longing as I go. Singing. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.